Hello and welcome to the ISIS Europe Chemical Update podcast. I'm Sarah Trinder and several of my colleagues are joining me today to talk through the week's big story for fuel markets, the UK banning the sale of petrol and diesel cars after 2040. In pole position on the podcast is Samantha Wright, who's been covering what the UK government said about its plans. So what can you tell us, Sam?
Yeah, so on Wednesday, the UK government announced that there's going to be a ban on all new conventional and petrol diesel cars from 2040. This is part of an even longer term plan for almost every car and van on the road in the UK to be a zero emissions vehicle by 2050.
And the UK isn't the first country to do this, is it?
No, other examples include the Netherlands, which announced last year that it plans to ban the sale of all petrol and diesel cars by 2025. This was followed by a very similar announcement in June this year from Norway, who want to ban all fossil fuel-based vehicles by 2025. Most recently in France, a few weeks ago, the Environment Minister said that the country plans to ban all petrol and diesel vehicles by 2040. Germany is also pushing for a ban on combustion engine cars by 2030, although that has not been passed yet.
To put this in perspective, let's bring in our oil products editor, Cuckoo James.
Hello.
Cuckoo, what is the scale of the UK refining sector and the gasoline and diesel markets?
The UK has around 6 refineries, which is capable of producing 1.5 million barrels per day.
Wow.
So that's just 2% of the whole global capacity, but it's still substantial. And in terms of the gasoline and diesel markets, they're huge for the UK itself. So combined, gasoline and diesel would be 60% of the refinery's output.
Wow.
So that's around 30% for gasoline output and 35%, a bit more, 35% of diesel output. And when it comes to demand, it's around the same numbers. You have 60% of UK's demand for refined products is for gasoline and diesel. So that's, but the figures are a bit more skewed. So you have demand of 17% of total refined products is for gasoline and 43% is for diesel.
Wow.
So obviously there's a interesting trade flow that develops from that. So you have extra gasoline that we need to export to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And so when the ban comes in, it'll be interesting to see how that's going to continue and whether, the 17% demand loss is going to be taken up by the rest of the world. And then also it's going to cut back a lot on the diesel shortage we have. We have had to import quite a bit of diesel, so it'll help the UK out in terms of that in the short term.
Wow.
As we move towards the ban.
So what do you think the short-term impact on the market would be?
Well, I was speaking to some analysts and they seem to think that the short-term impact would be very little, because you're talking about as far into the future as 2040. So the next 5 years, no impact on trade flow or production. After that, in the medium term, there's going to be, obviously, analysts are expecting gasoline costs to the cost share to increase. There's going to be more demand for gasoline and less demand for diesel. So that's in the medium term. And it also depends on what's happening across the channel, where it depends on how quick the shift to non-petrol and diesel fuel vehicles would be in Scandinavia, for example. So that'll have an impact on the UK markets as well. So in the short term, nothing. In the medium term, we'll have an impact depending on what other countries are doing. So beyond 2025, you'll have the trend towards electrification anyway. But as we head into 2040, you'll obviously see a real decline in demand for gasoline and diesel. So some analysts do think that what happens to the refineries will depend on how the government reacts to it, where the labor is replaced to.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll go from petrol stations to building refueling stations. You know, so it all depends a lot on the refinery status. Depends a lot on how the government, labor, and labor, you know, the labor unions interact.
And if we can also bring in ethanol editor Vicky Ellis now, what's the reaction been like in the biofuel sector?
Well, obviously, as Cuckoo was mentioning earlier on, you know, this is going to have an impact on the liquid fuels market. Biofuel, bioethanol and biodiesel blended into gasoline and diesel. So they're pretty dependent in terms of their fortunes on what happens with those fuels. And in fact, as one of my sources joked to me, oh, we're all going to have to become electricity traders now, because, you know, does that mean that there won't be any kind of any liquid fuels like diesel and gasoline to blend those biofuels into? So longer term, there's probably a little bit of concern over that. Mm. And I have to say, this is also set in the context of already a lack of clarity from the European Union and the UK government on the future for biofuels and legislation to support that, and whether there will be a mandate for blending more biofuels into fuels. In the UK alone, there's been a bit of a frustration at the fact that where we were hoping, or at least the people in the industry were hoping for the rollout of E10, which is, you know, up to 10% of ethanol within gasoline, that we'd have a rollout and support for that very soon. There hasn't been that. Possibly it's been a little bit delayed by a few distractions that the UK government might have. Dare I mention Brexit? But anyway, despite some of these concerns about kind of the future for biofuels, I did have a bit of a cynical reaction from others. And I had one of the sources say to me that the demise of liquid biofuels, the death of the liquid biofuels, is definitely overhyped. And they sort of saw this announcement of a ban on petrol and diesel is a bit of a governmental pie in the sky. And they said to me, until I see cold, hard cash from the government to support such a rollout, I think this is just showboating. So I think that kind of goes to show there's a bit of a mixed reaction, and I think people just waiting to see what actually will happen and what will be pushed through by the government.
Last but not least, all this talk of electric cars leads us naturally to ask, where will all that power come from, and will we have enough? Here's where I'd like to bring in ISIS Power Up editor Jamie Stewart.
Well, the question of where we will we have enough? Sorry, the simple answer is yes, we've already got enough. Now, if we project forward to 2040, we think about all those electric cars on the road, when they're being used. People drive their cars when they're awake, thankfully. Very good safety reasons behind that. When they're sleeping, those cars are going to be plugged in to the power grid. This is when they recharge. So the actual demand is happening at night time, where we've got all that spare capacity sat out there on our power system, otherwise doing nothing. So we already have enough power out there to fuel this a huge upsurge in electric vehicles in the UK.
And do you foresee any kind of impact on pricing as a result of this?
Well, what this will do to wholesale power prices is basically just iron out the price movements during the daytime. You would expect higher prices at night time because demand is going to be a bit higher then, and so the relative shift between the peaks and the troughs is going to iron itself out.
Oh, brilliant. Well, thanks so much for that, Jamie. It sounds like this is a story we'll be watching closely. To our listeners, please join us again for the next instalment of the ISIS Europe Chemical Update, or catch up with all the latest news on the ISIS dashboard. For ISIS here in London, I'm Sarah Trinder.